It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a conference in Wisconsin examines the concept of white privilege. We'll meet two of the presenters.
First, we're talking about the latest news on the Asian carp in the Great Lakes. Federal lawmakers from the area surrounding the Great Lakes wrote a letter to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers asking them to do more to stop the spread of Asian carp to the Great Lakes.
The letter was signed by a bipartisan group of 11 U.S. senators, including Wisconsin's Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson. The senators wrote, quote, "We want to impress upon you the need to implement short-term measures to stop Asian carp from getting into the Great Lakes and to move aggressively toward a long-term solution."
Dan Egan is with us now. He's a Great Lakes reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Dan, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
I want to start with some of the basics. With the Asian carp, what happens when the Asian carp invades an ecosystem?
It depends on the ecosystem, but what's happened in the Mississippi River Basin over the last 20 years is that they've literally overrun stretches of river and squeezed aside, if not entirely eliminated, native species. And these fish are not like other fish in the ecosystem. They're incredibly reproductive. They grow fast. They grow big. And they jump out of the water, which can be a problem for boaters on infested stretches of water.
So when it comes to Asian carp, is the nightmare scenario that they enter an ecosystem and they pretty much take over and come close to wiping out some of the natural species?
Well, I think that that's been the case in some stretches of river in the Mississippi Basin. I think the jury is still out as far as what will happen or would happen if they get into the Great Lakes. I think the consensus is that the open waters of the lakes aren't nearly as productive, filled with food as some of these Mississippi River Basin stretches of river. So nobody's envisioning carp popping like popcorn out in the middle of the lakes. But they do expect that they could do fairly well in the warmer bays and harbors and river systems that feed the lakes, which also happen to be where all the people are. So that's something to think about.
What do Asian carp look like?
Well, they don't look like a normal fish. The big head carp look like they're swimming upside down. They look like their eyes are below their mouths, and their mouths are big enough to gobble softballs. But from the head on down, they look pretty much just like a fish.
Do you have a sense of how close the Asian carp are to invading the Great Lakes right now?
Well, that's the question that everybody wants answered. They've got an electric barrier on the Chicago Sanitary and Ship Canal that is supposed to be keeping the fish back, but it's not operating at a level strong enough to repel all sizes of fish. Little fish need a bigger jolt because they don't have as much surface area. That said, they've only found one actual Asian carp above this electric barrier, and that was in Calumet Harbor, which is directly connected to Lake Michigan, just south of downtown Chicago. Beyond that, they've found DNA evidence of the fish all over Chicago above the barrier. And when I say above the barrier, I mean on the lake side of the barrier. Water samples have routinely picked up the fish since 2009, I believe. Evidence of the fish, not the fish themselves.
The Army Corps of Engineers released a plan earlier this year to stop the spread of Asian carp. Can you tell us a little bit about what's in the plan and the budget involved?
Yeah, I don't know if it's so much a plan as it is a menu of options ranging from doing nothing to rebuilding the Continental Divide in the middle of Chicago, the subcontinental divide, the divide that divides Lake Michigan from the Mississippi River Basin. And if they were to do that, it would cost a lot of money, and it would take a fair amount of time, but probably not as much time or money as the Army Corps has anticipated in its study.
When you mentioned rebuilding the barrier between the Mississippi and the Great Lakes Water Basin, as I understand it, that is a plan that could take a really long time. We're talking more than a decade, right?
Yeah. The problem isn't building some kind of a structure and dropping it in the canal. It's doing it in a manner that won't cause horrible flooding throughout Chicago or big environmental trouble for Lake Michigan. Because Chicago's sewage treatment plant discharges are still, they don't disinfect. So they're still pretty filthy, and you don't want them going into Lake Michigan. You want them going away from the lake, if you care about the lake. But then again, if you care about the Mississippi River Basin, you're not really too thrilled about what Chicago sends downriver. But yeah, the project is a multi-year, multi-billion-dollar project, any way you look at it.
Now, that would be the whole enchilada, the biggest part of the plan, but there were some short-term solutions being proposed as well. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the quicker fixes?
Well, yeah, and quick is a relative term, but I think the one that's getting the most attention right now is to turn one of the navigation locks on the canal system. I think it actually may be below the canal and on the river itself, but you would turn it into a sterilization chamber, essentially. By that, I mean the water that goes into it would be poisoned, or they'd pump carbon dioxide into it, do something that would make it unfriendly to fish, that would kill them. That's their plan, but they haven't designed anything like this yet either, so it's not going to be happening in the next year or so.
Has it ever been tried before?
Using a lock like this, mm-hmm. No, I don't think it has. I think that there's some promising research that shows carbon dioxide actually can do the job, but I don't think the Army Corps has explored this too far at this point. I think they may be getting some pressure from some people to do this, but no, they've never used locks like this, as far as I know. It's a novel idea, and something's got to be done, because what they have now is not going to work for the long haul.
Now, a group of federal lawmakers whose states have stakes or are stakeholders in the Great Lakes areas, including Wisconsin Senators Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson, they wrote a letter to the Army Corps of Engineers asking them to do more to stop the spread of Asian carp. Do you have any idea what they're asking for, what they'd like to be done?
Well, it was, from what I could determine from that letter, they want something fast. And by that, I think they want something done with one of these navigation locks. That's their short-term solution. And then they want the Corps to proceed ahead, looking at what it'll take for a long-term solution. And most people agree that the only long-term solution is physical separation of the two watersheds. They were naturally separated until Chicago built its canal, linking Lake Michigan to the Mississippi Basin. And they did that to flush its sewage away from its drinking water intakes on Lake Michigan and down into the Gulf of Mexico, ultimately.
And states not included in that letter were Illinois and Indiana, and they would be directly affected by the solutions proposed. And you talked about changes to the way that Illinois processes sewage, and a lot of the money for some of these big plans would go toward that. Do you know where they stand on this? They didn't sign the letter.
No, I don't know why they didn't sign it. I do know that the Illinois governor expressed his support for this concept last summer. It's more controversial in Illinois and Indiana because it would have an impact on the barge industry that relies on the canals, the extent of which is very debatable. Some people say it's just not as much traffic as you would expect it to be, and therefore it's not going to be as big of an economic impact. Also, Illinois and Indiana stand to gain from this as well. I mean, if there's a lot of federal dollars going into these wastewater treatment and stormwater management projects that are affiliated with stopping the carp, that's a good thing for the citizens of those two states.
So why do you think, just to speculate for a moment, why do you think they stood back from this?
I have no idea. I can't get inside their heads. I mean, these things happen quickly. They circulate the letters, they get the people to sign, and then it's off. So I don't know.
We talked about sort of the big plan, the building of the divide, and how that could take more than a decade, tons of money, billions of dollars, and some of the shorter-term fixes, which would still require billions of dollars, but would be using this a tweak to an existing lock. Do you think that these actions will come soon enough? In either case, you talked about the DNA being found already in the Great Lakes. Is the action moving quickly enough?
I don't know. But I do know that this isn't just about Asian carp, and it never really has been. It's about these two watersheds that are artificially connected and the biological mischief that can make its way between the two via the Chicago Sanitary and Ship Canal. They initially identified dozens of species poised to ride out of the lakes and into the Mississippi, or from the Mississippi into the lakes, that can have a real negative impact economically and ecologically. For example, there's the VHS virus in the Great Lakes that, if it were to get loose down in the southern fish farm industry, it could wreak economic havoc. Those fish farms actually are the same. That's the same place where the Asian carp originally came from. So this is a two-way highway, and it's not just species or carp species that are riding it.
How big of a difference do you think the letter from these senators will make in the struggle to prevent Asian carp from getting into the Great Lakes?
Well, I don't know what one letter can do, but it's definitely, the debate has changed from 10 years ago when it was just a kind of crazy talk to look at separating the basins. It's gone much more mainstream, and every time a new species is at the door, this problem isn't going to go away. The electric barrier on the canal was originally built to stop a different species of fish around goby from going out of the Great Lakes into the Mississippi Basin. Well, they didn't get it built in time. The goby made it into the Mississippi, and the barrier was repurposed as a carp barrier. So that's what we have today, and who knows what it might be a barrier for in 5 years.
Dan, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your time.
That was Dan Egan, Great Lakes reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He was with us to talk with the news today that Wisconsin senators joined others to call for action to stop the spread of Asian carp.